Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Neogen Chemicals Limited Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishid from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Neogen Chemicals Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call for analysts and investors. Joining us on the call today are senior members of the management team, including Dr. Harin Kanani, Managing Director, Mr. Anurag Surana, Director, and Mr. Ketan Vyas, Chief Financial Officer. We will commence the call with opening thoughts from the management team, post which we shall open the forum for Q&A, where the management will be addressing queries of the participants. Let me leave you with our standard disclaimer here. Certain statements made or discussed on the conference call today may be forward-looking in nature. The actual results may vary from these forward-looking statements. A detailed disclaimer in this regard is available in Neogen Chemicals Q4 FY22 earnings presentation, which has been shared earlier. I would now like to invite Dr. Harin Kanani to share his perspectives on performance and progress that the company has made. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nishid. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call. We have shared our results document, and I hope you had an opportunity to glance through them. I will begin by sharing the performance highlights, key developments, and the strategy soon after. Our CFO, Mr. Ketan Vyas, will cover the financial highlights for the period under review. We demonstrated solid financial performance during the fourth quarter and full year ended March 31, 2022, steered by capacity expansion initiatives undertaken in the past. Financial year 2022 has been the best year in the history of Neogen Chemicals, with highest ever growth in revenues at 69% in Q4 FY22 and 45% in FY22. We delivered annual sales of rupees 487 crore, which was better than the expected growth trajectory. This came in spite of unprecedented challenges posed by inflation in raw material prices and utility costs, as well as supply chain disruptions. I would like to thank the entire Neogen family for showing resilience and staying nimble during this remarkable growth journey. I believe we have built a high-quality business with robust execution skills, and this will help us scale new heights year after year. Our operational performance mirrored the trend in revenues, where EBITDA grew by 44%, translating to margin of 17%, while profit after tax increased by 68% during the quarter under review. In Q4 FY22, our organic chemicals division reported a gain of 38% year-on-year, while growth in inorganic chemicals stood at 176%. Here, I would like to explain everyone that we face significant volatility in the prices of raw materials linked to lithium in this quarter. As a process, this cost pressures are passed on to the customer with some time lag. While the objective is to increase the absolute earnings, there could be some margin pressure due to this time lag. You all are advised to appropriately account for this. Now let me turn your attention to a key development. The board has approved an estimated capex of up to rupees 150 crore for FY23 at Dahej SEZ. The capex will be funded by a mix of equity raised through preferential issue and additional debt, and deployed towards brownfield expansion across both organic and inorganic chemicals at Dahej SEZ. Let me list down the key areas where this will be utilized. Firstly, increasing the manufacturing capacity of specialty organic chemicals by 50,000 liters. This will support new molecules which have been developed in-house and to enhance the ability to do multiple chemistry. Secondly, expanding the manufacturing capacity of inorganic salts from 1,200 metric tons to 2,400 metric ton in the existing inorganic MPP. This is to satisfy the demand coming from new approvals received from international customers from regular lithium-based molecules and expected growth and demand in the domestic market. Thirdly, setting up new capacity in existing inorganic MPP for 400 metric tons per annum for manufacturing specialty lithium salts and additives for electrolytes used in lithium-ion batteries advanced chemistry cell. This is targeted for trial approval in international markets and captive consumption for electrolyte manufacturing. Lastly, development of the site at Dahej SEZ, like adding admin blocks, some expenditure towards common infrastructure, warehouse expansion, etc. These brownfield expansions are expected to completed by June 2023 and will result into incremental revenue potential of rupees 250 to 300 crore per annum post-commissioning. And we expect to reach full utilization level by FY22 or by FY25 or FY26. Important to note that out of this incremental potential revenue from inorganic chemical are estimated based on stable lithium prices. Once these projects are fully on stream, I believe it will significantly strengthen Neogen's business proposition across a range of products within chosen chemistries and elevate its performance momentum in the years to come. I will now share some updates on our newly commissioned organic MPP plants, Phase 1 and Phase 2. Both these are stabilizing as expected with continuous improvement in utilization levels. Based on these, we are confident of achieving the targeted revenue of 725 to 750 crore in FY24. As envisaged, we are executing high-value orders here that are more customized in nature and goes through multiple stage processes with complex chemistries involved. So this is moving in the right direction. Definitely, we are also progressing well with our pilot plant initiative of electrolyte manufacturing for lithium-ion batteries and expect this to be operational this year. Meanwhile, we are closely studying the overall market for battery materials and evaluating promising opportunities in this sector. Overall, I am excited with our growth projections and believe that we have right drivers in place to achieve them. We will remain agile and demonstrate our execution capabilities whilst capturing incremental market demand. Our aim is to profitably maintain the growth trajectory while enhancing value for all stakeholders. With that, I would now request our CFO, Mr. Ketan Vyas, to share the financial highlight for Q4 and FY22. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hari. Good afternoon and warm welcome to everyone. Today, I will cover the financial performance of the company for Q4 and financial year 2022. Please note that all comparisons are on year-on-year basis and refer to standalone financial performance. In Q4 FY22, our revenue stood at rupees 156.8 crore, representing a solid growth of 69%, driven by capacity expansion initiatives as well as realization gains for select products. EBITDA came in at rupees 26.6 crore, translating to EBITDA margin of 17%. The EBITDA performance was supported by higher utilization levels at newly commissioned facility as well as better product mix. The margin performance has to be seen in light of significant increase in raw material prices linked to lithium, in addition to higher utility costs and other logistical disruptions. The profit after tax stood at 15.7 crore, higher by 58% in Q4 FY22. Tax was in line with operational performance of the company, further bolstered by lower effective tax rate due to higher contribution from SEZ facility. Depreciation increased during the quarter, commensurate to the newer capacity needed. Now moving on to annual performance trends. In FY22, revenues stood at rupees 487.3 crore, representing a growth of 45%, with an EBITDA growth of 35% at rupees 86.6 crore. Profit after tax improved by 42% to rupees 44.7 crore. In Q4 FY22, our domestic and export mix stood at 64% and 36% respectively. Our net debt, after including maturities of long-term debt, stood at rupees 99 crore in FY22 as against rupees 215 crore in the previous year. Premised on healthy performance reported during the year, the Board of Directors has approved a final dividend of rupees 2.75 per equity share for FY22. This has increased our previous year in spite of external headwinds linked to higher raw material prices and utility costs. That ends my opening comments. I will now request the moderator to open the forum for questions from participants. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Anshul Vardhya from Edelweiss Wealth Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you. And thank you for this opportunity. So first on the organic chemicals revenue side, so we have seen slight moderation quarter on quarter of 6 crore.
Anshul, request to please use the handset. The audio is not very clear.
Okay. So first on the organic chemicals revenue, we have seen a slight moderation quarter on quarter of 6 crore in terms of top line, despite we are talking about the capacity expansion at the Dahej. So could you please help what led to this moderation? Is it the volume driven or the price correction in the organic chemicals?
Hi, thank you. So this slight moderation quarter on quarter was basically driven by basically product mix as well as and mainly because we were basically trying to develop some new molecules which were like being done in Neogen for the first time. So in the first quarter, in basically Q3, majority of the molecules which we were making in Dahej were molecules which were already made in other sites, which were basically transferred to Dahej. Whereas in Q4, we were trying to make some new molecules, and there were some operational challenges related to that, due to which the revenues was slightly lower as compared to earlier. But it's basically just related to the product mix. But if we look at overall utilizations of the plant, that has improved in Q4 as compared to in Q3.
Thanks, Anil. That's really helpful. Just on a slide number 18, just to clarity that you have said the electrolyte volumes required would be 150K ton by FY30. And if I revisit your third quarter presentation, there we are saying 70K tons. So what has led this to this tremendous increase in the electrolyte requirement? Although the capacity in terms of gigawatt has remained largely constant at 160 gigawatt. So any comments on that?
Yes. So, in last quarter, we had several interactions with our customers, and many of our customers also are now progressing. I mean, the customers who are planning to make cell manufacturing. So as our customers are also now progressing in their plans for making the cell manufacturing and their understanding of the technology. So based on these understanding that we've received from them, we've gotten a better sense of different chemistries require different volume of electrolyte. So the volume of electrolyte which we had originally estimated was based on some public information. Now we have, more specific information from our customers. Also, different chemistries of cathode require different quantities of electrolyte. So this information also became clear. So what is expected to be the more, better understanding of what is going to be the composition between cathode chemistries, and hence what we have currently shown is as on today, our best understanding that for the given gigawatt hour, based on the chemistries, cathode chemistries which are likely to be deployed, the volume of electrolyte which will be needed. So I think it's just our understanding that for a given gigawatt hour, what is the electrolyte needed has now become better as compared to the information which we had from public domain, let's say 1-3 months ago.
Okay, great. Thanks. Just one follow-up, sir. Would you like to assign some number in terms of the opportunity size for this electrolyte?
So that's something which has been asked last time also. And, I would like you to refer that the rates of electrolytes are varying quite a bit. Lithium prices are also varying quite a bit. And what we have seen is electrolyte prices between regions also change quite a bit. And since, this is very early stage, we would not like to yet put a number in terms of revenue of the opportunity at present.
Fair enough. Thanks. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. First question on the MPP utilization. You know, if I recollect it right, phase one was largely phase two was largely used for the pharma molecules, while phase one was for more on the agro innovator side. So what has been the exit run rate there in terms of utilization?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, our utilizations are getting better between the two. You of course not yet reached full utilization level. The agro was getting fully utilized. Again, the pharma is where we were trying to make some new molecules for approvals of the customer. So some of these were being made for the first time, and we are also planning more such molecules in Q1 and Q2 of the current financial year, where we are trying to get some of these molecules made and then, you know, send it for initial customer approvals. So that over a period of time, we can get approvals of them, and then let's say by at least FY24, we can fully utilize these molecules for our customers. So utilization levels are improving as compared to overall. Some of it was still sitting in the inventory because of the trial production still ongoing. And over a period of time, as these get approved, then the utilization level in the phases will also improve. Also now, you know, over a period of time, because both of these are in the same plant, we've kind of stopped thinking much as phase one and phase two. So now almost all the reactors are installed and we are basically just looking at it as a single entity. So in most of our discussions also in future, we would just basically like to consider this as a single MPP of organic.
Sure. Okay. So secondly, on the electrolyte part, now you did mention that, you know, since the customers are probably, you know, progressing on their plans and we have more clarity in terms of which electrolyte and how. Any clarity or let's say, you know, there is a variation of electrolyte variety as well that we'll be making, maybe a higher end or lower end, and from a capability point of view, you know, where do we stand?
No, I think, you know, each customer has their own unique electrolyte formulation, and the way we are seeing that some of the customers will also have multiple cathode chemistry and multiple electrolyte requirements. There is no higher end or lower end as such. What it basically means is just different kinds of formulation. So the capability to formulate will remain the same. What goes in the formulation will be decided by the customer depending on the chemistries that they are doing. What is only changed is our understanding that how much of electrolyte is needed. So the quantity of the electrolyte needed changes between chemistries. And, you know, is much higher as compared to what we had originally estimated based on, you know, publicly available information. So considering these information, we have now revised our estimate.
Okay, fair enough. And just one last, you know, clarification on the raw material, you know, side. You did mention that, you know, the focus of the company remains on the profitability side. So how should, you know, one look at the margins here? Will it be an absolute pass-through of RM inflation and hence the percentage margin may look slightly under pressure? Or, you know, your thoughts there?
Yes. So I think, you know, you will see one phrase which I have used in the opening remark as well as in the presentation is basically considering as a stable lithium price. So, you know, historically also when we have, you know, informed about our lithium capacities, our lithium revenues, this was basically keeping in mind the lithium prices which were prevailing, let's say, in the period of 2017, 2018 and 2019. Now what has happened is, as you know, we also stated in our FY21 that the prices were much, much lower as compared to the stable lithium prices. And now these prices are going higher. So I think this is something which is going to happen. Now, if I see today's, or let's say if we were to look at Q4, by the end of Q4, we would say that these prices have now moved beyond what is the stable lithium prices. So this is again like talking about India. So generally there is one quarter lag between the world prices and the India prices, because it takes like 2 months for the shipments to come from Chile and Argentina. But anyway, so this is one challenge which we've seen. So now, like if we look at current market prices, they are like 2.5 or 3 times what was the world's highest price in last, like, you know, historic peak. So these are going to be really, really high lithium prices. And we, like, you know, many of our traditional users, like, you know, like at best will be able to absorb the cost. But for them to, like, you know, do a business where our margins are also maintained at absolute level will be a challenge. So what will happen is that the way at least we are thinking, that we are thinking of anything above this stable lithium price will be like an additional revenue. So our absolute number will keep increasing, but when you look at percentage margin, they could have some decrease because of this lithium price. So so that's something which we will have to basically keep in mind, especially in this year. We are hoping that by 2024, the situation in lithium should become better, and like prices will start coming down. In the calendar year 2023, which is FY24, the prices should start moderating, and let's say by 2024, we are hoping that they are more closer to the stable lithium prices which have been there. But these next 1 or 2 years, the lithium prices could remain much higher as compared to the stable lithium price, and therefore they may have some impact on our margins as a percentage. The absolute EBITDA numbers or absolute PAT numbers will continue to grow, but sometimes these percentages can skew a little bit.
Sure, okay. That's helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on good FY22. So first question is, again, you just mentioned about lithium. Just wanted to get a perspective that whether there has been any resistance from the customers, given that the pricing is substantially higher, and probably next quarter, as you said, that there is a lag of a quarter to pass on the price increases. Would there be a challenge to completely pass on the prices, and maybe increase will be partially absorbed by the customer, and we'll have to take some hit in terms of per kg margin? And any expectation that the demand probably would have a challenge with such a high lithium prices? Thank you.
Yeah. So Rohit, yes. So far we've been able to manage to ensure that most of the price increase we've been able to pass on to our customer. What is really helping us also is the fact that the prices are high because lithium is not available. And because lithium is not available, at least Neogen customers are very happy that Neogen has lithium and their production has not stopped because, you know, Neogen is not able to supply lithium. What has also worked in this that many other people who are buying from, let's say, other companies or let's say from China are actually currently suffering because their suppliers are not in as good a position in securing lithium as Neogen has been. So as you will also see, like, you know, in our presentation, what we mentioned, that we are increasing our normal lithium production capacities because like two factors really helped us in last quarter. One is there are many companies which couldn't secure lithium and Neogen was able to secure lithium. So just in last 3 to 4 months, we have added 20 new customers who have shown interest, and out of that, 5 to 6 new customers who also approved Neogen products, and they have started buying products from Neogen in the international market. Now these customers are in US, in Europe, in China, in Japan and Korea. The other factor also which helped in this is that with the COVID restrictions going away, so, you know, as you may recall, the Neogen Dahej lithium site started in February 2020 and COVID restrictions started in March 2020. So we had very few customers who could come and visit. So now with this, travel restrictions going away and customers feeling more comfortable to travel, we had several of these lithium customers who came to our site approved now have started procuring lithium molecules from us. So yes, there might be some customers who will not be able to absorb these new prices of lithium. So we are also trying to work with them to find some recycling solutions from them where, you know, we can meet their requirements. But most of the customers are right now appreciating that Neogen can supply lithium. We have added new customers who were appreciating of the fact that we were able to give them lithium in such a tough environment. And when they looked at the site also, they were very happy with the systems and the plant which we have built for lithium. So these approvals are coming in, and overall we are expecting the volumes to continue to increase, which is why, you know, we are currently planning for the expansion in the lithium salt business as well. So our absolute margins, we are quite confident we will be able to give. But when the prices are so high, will we be able to maintain percentage margins in lithium? That's the only question which we are saying. So the absolute growth which you would expect from lithium business will continue. It's just that the margins sometimes may look a bit skewed.
Right, got it. This was really helpful. The second question is, we had earlier indicated that in FY24, we expect about 20% revenues from the CSM segment. So where are we placed on that, and under CSM, how are we placed on the pharma piece particularly? Thank you so much.
Yeah, so I think in CSM, our revenue growth or as a percentage growth in CSM continues to increase. So we have done, it used to be around 10%, now it is more than 10%. And, I think I'm still hopeful that by FY24, our advanced intermediates will contribute 40% and the CSM will contribute up to 20% revenue of that. We continue to maintain, progress on the CSM side. I think in this year we will be doing several customers once the head site stabilizes with regular production. In the first half, we were planning some trial productions for these new molecules, both CSM and our own advanced intermediate. And, this will basically form the basis. So let's say by Q3, we will have a better idea on what is going to be next year CSM revenue contribution and advanced intermediate revenue contribution.
Got it. Thanks a lot and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anirudh Shetty from Solidarity Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I have a few. So my first question is on the CAPEX plans that we have for the electrolyte and the salts and additives. This is 250 metric ton and the 400 metric ton CAPEX respectively. What is the CAPEX amount we are spending for this, and what would the sales potential be?
Because of several reasons, I'll not be able to share the exact revenue, the investment breakup for that. Because I don't want to mislead. So this will be basically done in the existing plant where we already have the lithium plant ready. In the existing block, we are just adding few more reactors. So relatively, the cost will be a bit lower. However, on the revenue side, both these electrolyte as well as the 400 metric tons per annum lithium battery materials, this should together allow us to give about 150 crores of revenue on a stable lithium prices on full utilization. So the way we are seeing, our existing revenue guidance was around 725 to 750 crore. and the new CapEx that we are, we've announced is adding 250 to 300 crores. So roughly, let's say around 1,000 to 1,050 crore will be the installed capacity once we have completed this CapEx. So once that is over, the way we are expecting it to be that about 700 to 750 crores would be coming in from organic products. The lithium, traditional lithium, which has currently installed capacity of around 100 crore, will increase to about 150 crore. And the battery materials, which is this electrolyte and lithium salts, that should contribute around 150 crores on full utilization, let's say by FY25 and FY26.
Got it. And, you know, you mentioned that now we have the capabilities to do more high-value complex products. So at, you know, that level at 1,000 crores, you know, what would be a fair EBITDA margin assumption to work with?
So again, I would like to stick to my maybe slightly boring line that, you know, we will be able, like you can improve EBITDA when we do innovation. And a lot of these things we are doing new, like the advanced complex chemistries, as well as, you know, this lithium derivatives, which we are doing. So also, you know, in this lithium derivatives, especially on electrolyte and lithium salt, this is very, very new business for us. So, and like there's a lot of non-homogeneity across markets. So even in India, this market is very different. So with all this, you know, again, I would like to say that our effort will be to continue to maintain 18.5 plus or minus 1%. So that's something which we would like to stably do. Of course, in this, whatever is additional cost of lithium which we pass down, we have to basically correct for that. But otherwise, we would try to be in this 18.5 plus minus 1%. And only after FY24, when some of these businesses have stabilized, you know, we will basically try to look if we can further improve our margins. Again, the first level would be to try and see if we can cross 20%. But as of now, I would still like to maintain my previous guidance in this matter.
Got it. And not to talk too much on this, but you know, I understand the gross profit margin really depends on how, you know, the product mix and how the new product margin kind of stabilizes. But if you just look at the cost below GP margin, you know, just break it up into your employee cost and your other overhead, shouldn't we see operating leverage on this cost as we go from, you know, 490 crores to 1,000 crores?
To some extent, yes. But also you have to think that a lot of operating costs were also capitalized, you know, during last year. So it's kind of, so I'm not expecting a very significant change in that, especially when you're talking of employee costs and other manufacturing costs. In fact, the way things are happening, you know, your fuel cost is like increasing significantly. Your transportation costs are increasing also significantly. What is broadly happening is, yes, because of these advanced intermediates, our gross margins are improving and the manufacturing and other costs are increasing. But overall, again, at the EBITDA level, we know we remain more or less similar. So I'm not, because we are also now planning to also start building this lithium business, so there are going to be some like non-fully utilized or not most efficiently utilized lithium businesses as well. So at least for now, you know, I would want to maintain similar margin guidance as earlier.
Got it. And just one final question. As we look to do more sales from Dahej, what will the blended tax rate look like at that, you know, 1,000 crore scale?
So I would see, refer to Ketan for it.
Yeah, see, we are at the early phase of this Dahej. Dahej being a tax-free zone and we have this tax depreciation also at a higher rate. But what we anticipate is that this tax, blended tax rate going forward should remain approximately about 19% to us. 19 to 22, maybe it comes to. That's what we anticipate because the depreciation part plays a role where you don't get the benefit of it.
Okay.
So just to add, Anirudh, see, when we had done this exercise earlier, we were expecting, you know, blended rate to be closer to around 25%. This time we also had an additional benefit of additional depreciation.
So, yeah.
So, like, you know, going forward, my guess is, like, as he mentioned, somewhere between 20 to 25% on a broader range, blended tax rate.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. Thanks for the news.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurav from AMSEC. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So just on your CAPEX side, if I look at the past CAPEX and the asset turnover, so should it be similar for both organic and inorganic CAPEX, similar to last what we did at the Hitch?
So I think, you know, we've already defined like a about 150 crore CAPEX and 250 to 300. So if we look at that, it's relatively like, you know, about 1:2 kind of, asset turn of around 2. So which is slightly lower as compared to others. Some of this is because one is some of the Dahej facilities that we are building, like admin block, warehouse, expansion. So some of that is contributing to that and there's a higher contribution of that. Some of the CAPEX which also we are doing would be to make the plants a little bit more efficient in their operation. So we will not be directly adding to the revenue. So that's the reason why it's a bit lower as compared to our usual asset turns. And the third part is that we are right now also doing some of this like equipment, which are very specialized equipment which we are getting related to electrolyte and related to this lithium salts. So they are on the slightly higher side. So these are two, three factors where as compared to our normal asset turns of 2, 2.5, we are like expecting slightly more closer to lower, which is like more closer to around 2 asset turns for this particular CAPEX.
Oh, okay. And sir, just to further understand the, you know, new CAPEX, so should we assume the electrolyte business will have a lower asset turnover and margin profile similar to the existing business, or it should be lower given the high volume what we can do over the years?
So again, we are trying to understand this, but generally whenever we think of inorganic chemistry, our expectations is that the asset turns are usually better and the margins are usually slightly lower. This is a normal perception of inorganic chemistry versus organic chemistry. Now, when it comes to electrolyte, you know, current investments are just basically very trial investments. So some of the equipment we are purchasing for the first time, we are still standardizing on some of the procedures and systems. So this would not be really representative of what a large investment would look like. So that's something I would request you to be a little bit more patient with us. As we get more clarity, we will be very happy to share. Especially when we do, like, you know, let's say a few thousand metric ton kind of production capacity, that is where we will have an idea. In this case also, you know, it will depend upon how much work we are doing. So for example, if I just make electrolyte and only electrolyte using everything from outside, the asset turns are very high. But what we are proposing is we are starting from lithium carbonate and, you know, we will then make the intermediate, then the complex salt, then the electrolyte. So it also depends on how much work which you are doing at your end versus, you know, how much you are going to outsource. So that's also going to determine the CAPEX. So again, on the margin side, for now, as I've said, you know, we can like basically guide that the margins will remain more or less similar. We are not saying there's any negative or a positive impact as yet. But give us up to FY24 to see how this margins can further improve or if there is any change. But specifically for electrolyte and lithium battery materials business, whenever we basically plan a more commercial scale CAPEX, that's when we will be able to give you more sense on margins, ROIs in this business.
Okay. And so just last thing on this electrolyte business. So the, once we scale up to the commercial level, maybe 2,000 tons of electrolyte capacity. So similarly, you know, we will add to this MPP plant as well, the capacity. So we'll be doing the basket of both the capex, your inorganic lithium salt as well as electrolyte.
Yeah, so I think our intention is to make, start from scratch. So lithium carbonate comes out of mine. Then from this carbonate all the way up to electrolyte is what we want to do in-house. So currently the investment which we have made, so the electrolyte capacity is only 250 metric tons, and 250 metric tons will not require more than 60-70 metric tons of the lithium salts. But the higher capacity that we have will basically help us in serving international customers and test international customers' requirement, and maybe also take care of the initial larger plant capacity. But in future, whenever we will go for electrolytes, we will also have to go with lithium salt production required for that. So captive consumption. And depending on the success that we have in the international market, we can also build on capacity, because electrolytes are very difficult to sell internationally, but the salts can be sold internationally. So we will also keep exploring that and put capacities for that. So generally the way I see going forward, we'll have X capacity for electrolytes, and the salt capacity will be for meeting the electrolyte demand as well as the pure salt demand in the international market. So we'll keep basically at a slightly higher level.
Oh, okay. And so this, we will be doing entire thing on ourselves, or we are looking for any technological partner, or we are working with some international partners for developing the technology?
So we have currently basically developed most of the technologies in-house, but at the same time, we as a country are catching up. So we do keep looking at international professors or universities or even some companies which are doing this commercially, to have tie up with them to basically gain knowledge and increase the trust in the technology that we are developing, and look for any scope of improvement, because there are people out there who have done this for a longer period of time or are understanding this better in the international market. So this is something which we are doing on a regular basis. The biggest challenge, however, is that the international business is also growing so fast. Getting attention, time and interest of these people for India is the challenge. So while we keep trying to work with them, and we do get some help from them, and these efforts continue, but we basically have to be ready to do this on our own. So our The work will be to basically try to do this on our own, and as and when we can do any tie-up or get some advice or consultancy from international market, use that to increase the knowledge that we have for Neogen and for India. Just as a sample, when India is supposed to require around 150 to 160 gigawatt hour of cell manufacturing by 2030, the world demand that time is going to be 3,500 gigawatt hours or something like that. So India, even after 7 years or 8 years, will only have 5% of cell manufacturing capacity based on the projection which is there. So there's a huge transformation which is also happening internationally. And everybody in this area is very, very busy just doing that also in the international or domestic market there.
Oh, okay, sir. Thank you. This was very helpful.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure the management is able to address questions from all participants in conference, please limit a question to two per participant. If time permits, you may join the queue for any follow-up. The next question is from the line of Ashish Upganlawar from Investor Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Harinji, so it's been a wonderful 3-4 years that you've been listed. We are investors since your IPO. So the performance on the P&L front has been great. However, the concern then and today also it remains that the cash flow generation for the company because of the inventory and basically the working capital, that remains a challenge, and that's why we have to go for debt and equity rounds simultaneously many times actually. So since you are building another business basically on the lithium electrolyte side, so would that be the endeavor to ensure that we don't have, I mean, we have certain power as to basically ensure that the cash flow generation is much better versus the current business. Any understanding you can give to us on that aspect, it will be good. And how you think overall Neogen as a company would stand once this business also becomes a big part of your P&L.
So Ashish, you know, I think fair point that while, you know, we've delivered on revenues, we've delivered on, you know, our, let's say more or less the margin levels that we predicted. And yes, there is, needs to be an improvement on our working capital management, which allows us to, you know, be more, like basically deploy more capital towards growth. Just in my defense, what I would like to say that, you know, the growth has been very high. So for example, if, you know, at the time of IPO in 2019, we had mentioned that in FY24, we would be 500 crores capacity, of which we will do about 450 crores. Today, the capacity, installed capacity in parallel, we also increased to almost 750 crore and, you know, we are adding more. So I think there's more deployment which is happening there. And if this was like a peak utilization of 450 crore, this is fine. But as you can see, if you look at like from a run rate point of view, that okay, in last quarter we did like, you know, last two quarter on an average we did around 140 crores of revenue. And like for the next year, the guidance that you provided earlier also, somewhere around 575 to 600 crores. So, like, you know, if you were to just look on a quarterly basis, we have done some improvement on the working capital cycle as well. Also, you know, if you look historically, the year in which the growth was minimal, we have delivered cash accrual significant. So far, we have not been able to deliver both very high growth as well as cash together. So area, we will keep improving on that. There is some improvement which we've done on, you know, our debtors and our creditors. On the inventories, as I had guided earlier also, that one of the key factors for us is to have molecules which are, like, you know, more and more molecules where I can have dedicated. So I think this is the key challenge, that when we have a dedicated set of molecules which we are making, then there is no changeovers, there is no like penalty where we have to make inventory and keep. So that's something which is still happening, and we have said by FY24, when we can kind of reach full utilization of the Dahej, we hope we will achieve this, where more percentage of the revenue will come from dedicated molecules. So even last year, there was a lot of turmoil in our product mix also, so some of the like very traditionally very strong molecules in our pharma segment. Like, for example, our top molecule in pharma segment in advanced intermediate, like there was very low demand in, like, you know, because during COVID there was a lot of inventory built up, and then last year the pharma requirement of that was very low. But we were able to grow in spite of that, and we were always able to make it up with other molecules. So I think that's just been something which we work with. And hopefully, let's say by FY24 and beyond, once these molecules stabilize and we have more molecules coming from dedicated reactors, then the inventory can be rationalized. Now, when it comes to this electrolytes and lithium, yes, these usually have a lower processing time. So they don't require, like, you know, many multiple step chemistry and things like that. So I think that is something which will help us. And at least from our side, we will try to make sure that, like, you know, the way we set the contracts, that they are not very working capital intensive, because the numbers there will increase very large. So I think as we go into this electrolyte and lithium, effort will be to basically set it in a way where our inventories or our working capital requirements are minimized.
Okay. So maybe over the next 7-8 years, as this part of the business grows, cash flow generation will be much better in terms of operating cash flows. Yeah. Thank you so much, Arjun. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tavan Shah from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So I have a question on, you know, you mentioned that there were some teething issues in terms of the new molecule development last quarter, and that's why we have seen some lower growth in terms of the quarter-on-quarter for organic chemical. So how are we placed for those molecules, and are they into the final stages, or we have started some trial production on that?
Yeah, and, sorry.
And also, I think earlier we won some 2 contracts, and those contracts were contributing about to contribute roughly 60-80 crore last year. So is that in line with the guidance? I mean, have we achieved that guidance last year?
Yeah. So first, the easier answer. So of the second part, which is yes. So the 2 contracts contributed to between 60-80 crore. What guidance we had given? They contributed to revenue to that level in last financial year. The second part about, you know, have these molecules stabilized? So yes, they have stabilized. We have started shipments. What would have ideally happened in the month of March, if that would have happened, we would have maybe crossed 500 crores as well. But, you know, these shipments have started in the month of April and May. However, like, you know, again, these are pharma, so there will be some trial production, then, you know, customer approvals, then more will come in the second half. And we are using, as you know, historically Q1 and Q2 is a little bit less demand is there. So we are using this period and using this extra capacity that we have to try to, you know, make these new molecules which we had planned for Dahej. Because when Dahej started, just the existing customer regular product demand was so much that we were not able to do this. So now with those molecules stabilizing, we are using some of the capacity for these new molecule launches. For trials is Q1 and Q2. So hopefully by Q3, Q4 and for sure by next year, we basically have a full utilization level in the edge.
Okay. And secondly, you mentioned that, you know, we are working on the pharma molecules. So is that fair to assume that, or maybe if you can help us to understand the industry size of those molecules, and is there any possibility that one of these molecules or maybe few of these molecules, we can get some CSM opportunity from that?
So
and can have a dedicated facility going forward?
Yeah. So, you know, in last year, we have basically worked, we have made almost 18 to 20 molecules which we've made ready for commercialization, right? Where we've completed the pilot work, we've completed the R&D, and like, you know, some of these can be made in our existing facility. So that's where we have, you know, some of these we already started trying, and some require also specific reactors, which is what is going to be contributed by this additional 60,000 liter reactors that we are trying to put, because some of these chemistries which we are doing will require that. So, and yes, in this 20 molecules, several of these are CSM molecules, both for agro as well as pharma, and some are even, one is even in the engineering segment, one is in food and flavor segment. So they are multiple segments to which the CSM molecules are catering to, as well as our own molecules are also catering to. Although our own molecules are more driven by pharma, because most of the agro opportunities are under the CSM model.
Okay. So is that fair to assume? I mean, see, CSM business, the only contribution that you have mentioned, roughly 10 to 15%. So given that these molecules are under the pipeline, so is this not, very lower estimates in terms of the overall revenue contribution of the CSM side? We can see, you know, higher revenues over the period of time based on the current pipeline.
So currently we have given revenue guidance only till FY24, right? So till FY24, we are just saying 20%. And, you know, again, the revenue is also going to increase 50% from, let's say, so the guidance is for 725-750 crore. So that's almost 50% higher than 486, which we've already done. And again, that guidance is also on a stable lithium price. So if the lithium prices will remain higher, you know, it will again increase beyond the 725-750 crore. So anyway, so we still feel 20% is a good, reasonable number. As and when we sign more contracts, we can be more confident. But otherwise, non-contracted CSM business, which are not very large, but do contribute to CSM revenues, that 20% of 750 crore is still a very good target to have.
Got it, got it. And secondly, about, I mean, what is the stable lithium prices that you considered, you know, while doing the calculation of the incremental revenues from the upcoming capacity? And what is the current prices prevailing now, if you can help on this?
So when I say stable lithium prices, I basically mean, you know, the lithium prices, which were like in calendar year 2017, 2018, and 2019. Because this was a period which was, you know, before COVID. There were some movement because of the Chinese, but it was reasonably, like, stable. And it's like reasonably stable, considering, let's say, Tesla and Chinese, like, initiatives in the EV. Now, if we look in calendar year 2020 and, like, you know, up to early 2021, which was, this was a time where these prices were actually going lower. So if you see historically, in our last year also, we had said that almost 19 crore revenue was lost because lithium prices were lower. And, like, I think in last year, we kept saying that the prices are now improving. So from 2020, let's say, 20 during COVID period and 2021, in 2021, the prices started increasing. They first came to the, what is my stable lithium price, and we can see if, like in Q4, they were a bit higher, as compared to that. And like, you know, they reached whatever is close to the historical high, in Q4. This is again from a Neogen's perspective, and Neogen is basically lagging one quarter from the world. So world had, like, because of the shipments and things like that, the world contract prices are like one quarter behind. So what prices are today, you know, based on that, let's say next two quarters, they are like maybe two times or three times the peak demand, or maybe four to five times the stable, three to five times the stable lithium prices. So this is, it's a very, like, this is uncharted territory. You know, lithium prices have never gone so high, and not like by a close margin. So we'll see, you know, it's going to be interesting for us to see. But what is good is that there are many critical operations of lithium, where lithium cannot be easily be substituted. So there are many customers who don't have a choice, and fortunately, in many cases, lithium is a very small component of the overall molecule. So that's where, you know, customers are able to still manage, let's say in pharma and some new customers which you added. But yeah, some of the traditional customers, this impact will be very, very difficult to manage. So I don't know, maybe they will also adapt and figure out a way to pass on this to their customers. If not, some customer demand may decrease, but with the new customers which are coming in, we feel our revenue should not decrease, and eventually, this will help us to grow our customer base, product base, and application base, and hence our traditional lithium business.
Sure. And sir, one last question, if I may, is about the, I mean, you already mentioned the lithium salt requirement, which is not more than 60-70 metric ton against, you know, we are putting up 250 metric ton of electrolyte capacity.
Yeah.
So if you can help the conversion ratio of lithium electrolyte to lithium cells, and...
Sorry. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So this is one question, and the second one is, we have used roughly 140 crore out of the 225 crore preferential allotment money. So if you can share, you know, the breakup of these proceeds, I mean, how much is used from into which part, and if you can help on that.
Yeah. So on the first part of it, you know, let's say how much lithium salt gets used in an electrolyte depends on each customer's configuration. So it changes, but roughly it's between 15% to 25%. So broadly it's in that range. And then again, it depends on which lithium salt, which additive, etc. So the actual lithium contribution also can change based on that. But that's roughly the percentage of lithium salt in a electrolyte. I think to answer your second question, see, at present, most of it has been deployed to reduce our loans. So we've repaid some working capital. We have repaid some parts of the term loan, and some part of it is used for like little bit of capex, which we've already started doing in our existing products. And our margin towards the capex, which we are doing, which was earlier announced and which we are basically planning to do now.
Thank you. Mr. Shah, request to join the queue for any follow-up. Also, participants are requested to limit their question to two per participant. If time permits, you may join the queue for any follow-up. The next question is on the line of Sabyasachi Mukherjee from Centrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. First question, clarification on the CAPEX. So, you know, last time when we interacted in Q3 call in February somewhere, you mentioned that there will be CAPEX for lithium salts as well as CAPEX for electrolytes.
Yes.
What we see in the announcement is, I think, CAPEX for lithium salts is there, apart from CAPEX for organic and inorganic, but electrolyte CAPEX is not there. So we'll be announcing the electrolyte CAPEX in next one or two quarters, am I right?
Yeah, so you are right. So, you know, in our last call, we had said three. One is lithium salts for international market. Then, you know, electrolyte-related CAPEX for India. And the third is the additional requirements of pharma and agro customers. So I think with this 60 meter cube additional reactors coming in, unless we get a very large project which is very time bound, this will take care of, you know, the immediate requirements in the organic side. So I think that is basically taken care of. The second, which was for this lithium salts, was more like a surprise, because in last quarter we got a lot of interest. So we had to do some incremental capex to increase our existing lithium capacity with the interest that we got from customers. And as we had planned, we did the capex for lithium salt for electrolytes. So this electrolyte lithium salts for the international market, basically it was driven by what is the quantity which I can fit in my existing MPP, because we want to kind of get it done in a shortest period of time. So taking that as a guidance, we've basically gone ahead and completed the capex. What we have not yet done is, what is the electrolyte requirement for India and the salt capacity for that? So that is something which is still being determined. So as our customers give us clarity, as we are getting some kind of a contractual or soft kind of a commitment from customers where we are more certain on the volume demand, this is what we are still working on. And hopefully, as you mentioned, our estimate is also that this is something which should be done between June to September. So next 3 to 6 months, like next two quarters, we should get a clarity, and then we should plan the electrolyte investment. Unless we feel our customers are still not ready, and like, you know, maybe their timelines for the cell manufacturing are getting delayed, then it will be delayed. But if our customers are ready, then Neogen should also make a decision in next two quarters.
And just a follow-up to that, what would be the quantum and of CAPEX in the electrolyte and expected revenue out of that?
So again, I think, you know, because these numbers keep changing, it's better that we wait when we have the clarity on that. It will be in thousands of metric tons, if basically for it to make economic sense.
But how many thousands is something which I'm not yet sure. So please give me some time to get clarity from customers, some commitment from customers, and then we can plan this capacity.
Sure, sure. Second question, the 150 crore capex that you have announced, it is divided into three. Will there be any phase-wise commissioning of these three, like, or and how? What is the priority out of these three? Which will be, the commission first, or something like that? If you have, and also, if possible, the capex split among the three projects.
Yeah, so I think capex split was asked to me earlier, but because of several reasons, and there's also fourth, which is our Dahej general overall site development. So we've not shared this, and we'd like to maintain some confidentiality, so I'm not, and also avoid some confusion because these are brownfield capexes, right? So that's the reason why we're not able to give the capex breakup for now. And yes, in case of organic, this will happen over a period of time because, again, it's divided. Some of it may come by even first half. Some where we have to build a separate building may come towards end of the year or by next June. But again, it's relatively small. It's 15% of my existing capacity. Of that, a little bit may come this year or a little bit may come the year after. So I think we'll keep updating, every quarter, but it's not something very significant, but we expect everything to get done by let's say June 2023. And the lithium modification, the lithium salt modification may happen slightly early, but the lithium battery materials should be more towards the end our expectation, because it requires some specialized equipment which will take a little longer lead time, and also the design, the final designing and detailed designing also of that will take a longer time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Chopra from Union Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on good startup. Most of my questions have been answered. Just, wanted to get your sense around, since we are, investing additional monies in this battery-related chemicals. Do you foresee any threats from the sodium-ion battery technology, which, many people started talking about? If that were to pick up, does that put our growth plans on hold or something like that?
So so far, in all our interactions, what we have seen is that for the sodium-ion is mostly considered only for storage, energy storage application. While the major driver for the lithium cell production has been mostly be driven by for the EV application. So therefore, yes, our volume of electrolyte may have some impact of that, but to the best of my knowledge, so far most of the EV vehicle manufacturers or the batteries which are to be used in EV will be lithium based, and that is what is the current driver. So I don't think sodium will have too much impact on that. There are also some synergies. So once we make this battery materials, both the salt as well as electrolyte, they also potentially could be used for sodium ion as well, because the systems are very similar, the molecules are very similar, the way of formulating is also very similar. So I think it will, even if sodium ion happens, it will not have tremendous impact on the plants that we have.
Got it. That's good to hear. Last question, sir. Can you share the capacity utilizations for both organic and inorganic as of FY22 and 21, if it is possible?
So I think my lithium plants are almost fully utilized now. There is some room still. But I think Mahape and Dahej, Mahape and Karakhadi are also almost fully utilized. And Dahej, I would say, is, let's say, about 45-50% utilization levels at present.
Got it. But, if I were to sort of get exact volume details from the expanded capacities, then what would be the blended utilization levels in that context?
We've not shared these numbers site-wise, specifically, category-wise with absolute percentage. Let me think internally, discuss internally whether we should do this or not. The second thing is, I think if on a very broad level in FY 2021 also, lithium, as we had mentioned, was not fully utilized. Karakhadi organic plants were fully utilized, and there was no Dahej. Dahej is now slowly building up, and we are at about 45%-50% utilization levels there.
Got it. Thanks. Thanks for answering my questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you all the participants for joining the call. I hope we were able to respond to all your questions. If you have any further questions, please feel free to contact our investor relation team, CDR India, and we will address them. Thank you once again. Stay safe, and we look forward to connecting with you in the next quarter.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Neogen Chemicals Limited, that concludes today's call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.